Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to shift gears today. We've been hitting a lot of economic subjects. What's the Fed going to do? All these different subjects of things that are weighing on people's minds. Well, we're going to shift gears and bring it to the business owners out there, or the folks that are thinking about starting a business. I just met with a person this morning who said, "Hey, I've just started a business," and you know, we were talking about what they're doing with their business. And then another one of my clients, not long ago, I talked to. I think it was about a week ago. She is in the process of growing her business, and she's hitting some critical steps, some bottlenecks, if you will. And we're thinking about what she can do to move her business forward. So, with all of that, we do have a very convenient guest on the line. Her name is Ruth King, and she is I love the title here. This is excellent. Profitability master and serial entrepreneur. I'd like to be guilty of that. That sounds very good to me. Her website, profitabilityrevolution.com. We'll be referring to that throughout the program. A lot of good resources there. And she's also not only into profits and the ongoing entrepreneurship, but also an accomplished writer. She's got 3 books out: The Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less Than 30 Minutes a Month, and then 2 books before that, Ugly Truth About Small Business and Ugly Truth About Managing People. And she comes to us with a whole host of experience in a lot of different businesses, 7 in fact, over the last 30 years. And one of her businesses is helping small business owners truly understand and profit from their financial statements. So I'm excited to welcome Ruth to the program. Welcome, Ruth.
Thanks, David, for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'm just falling all over myself because I'm excited to have you on the program. I was commenting to Beth Moodhart, my producer, who found you, that where was Ruth 18 years ago when I started my business? But here you are now, and we can talk.
Absolutely, and I hope I help your listeners, too.
Absolutely. I think that, as I mentioned with kind of setting up the program, this is something that, everybody, in fact, we've talked on this program about people pursuing their dreams, pursuing their passions, getting out of the box, getting on with life, and for a lot of people, that's the dream of starting a business. And for once they do, or once they are, kind of embracing that concept, the excitement and the dreamy part, then you have to roll up your sleeves and get it done.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, absolutely.
That's where the rubber meets the pavement, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We can go a lot of places, and I want to make the most of our time here. What to you really stands out as the number one thing that the small business owner really needs to keep in mind as they develop, start, grow their business?
Can I give you 2?
Sure, you can give me 5.
Okay.
Knock yourself out.
All right. Number one, if you are starting a business, get a customer. Because
hold on, I'm going to get a pen. Okay, no, that's good. Go ahead.
Because if you don't get a customer, you have no idea whether your business is viable. You have no idea whether your pricing is right. You may be too cheap. You never know that until you get a customer and talk about the benefits and what you can do for that customer to satisfy their wants and needs. So customer focus and getting customers, number one, when you're starting business. As you are growing your business, i.e. from month one, start tracking, you have to understand your financial statements. And David, you as a CPA know this better than anybody else, but it's not only creating the profit and loss statement, it's actually analyzing it and understanding it. And even if you use David and hire David as your CPA, you as a small business owner can never abdicate the responsibility for the financial side of your business.
Amen, 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 amen. It's your money, and nobody cares more about it than you do.
Absolutely. So those are my 2.
All right. That's excellent. Well, I'm going to go back to one of the comments you made related to the first, which was actually excellent, and I love it because I think a lot of people overlook this. You can be too cheap.
Absolutely.
You can price your services too low, and this is funny. My father-in-law said this to me. I've been married almost 20 years now, and he told me this. I guess maybe a couple years after I had been married to his daughter and I started my business, we got married in 95, and I started my business in 97. And so I went to him, he's also a CPA, and I went to him for, some advice from time to time. And one of the things he told me, and you'll love this, if you don't lose business from time to time because your prices are too high, then your prices are too low.
You're too cheap. And the corollary to that is if you are closing 80 to 90% of all of your proposals out there, you're too cheap.
Now people listening going, well, wait a minute, cheap is good.
No, it's not.
But from a business owner standpoint, you know, cheap means, here, if I cut all my fees in half, okay, there would be a short-term good thing for my client, right? I mean, we manage money for a fee, and if I cut my fees in half, okay, short-term, that sounds really good. But there's no way I'm going to be able to attract and retain quality people to help me do the work. I mean, I pay for 100% of the health insurance for my employees. I wouldn't be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you think I would be able to keep them?
Nope.
Not as well as I could if I could do the things I do for them now.
Yeah. The thing that I like to tell people is, and business owners in general, is start looking at your profit and loss statements from the bottom up. So my favorite thing, and it's in the Courage to Be Profitable book, is what is your net profit per hour? So that means for every hour that you bill, in your particular case, David, or every hour that it takes to produce your products or to deliver your services, how much on the bottom line net profit do you earn? So if you, it's not your billing rate. You know, it is your earning rate.
It's not what you make, it's what you can keep.
Yeah, exactly. My line is volume is vanity, profits are sanity.
Because you can go broke with tons of revenue.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
I had a client who almost did that. He grew from $0 to $2 million on a cash basis. And, you know, the money from one project job started the next and all the way through as he was growing. And he always had cash so he could pay his bills, he could pay his employees. He hit $2 million and absolutely stopped growing.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, he started having issues. Every once in a while, he didn't have enough money for payroll. He couldn't take his discounts anymore. He's going like, wait a minute, I'm this $2 million company. What's going on here?
Right.
So he called me on the phone, and long story short, he was losing a nickel for every dollar he'd brought in the door for 12 years.
I hope you straightened him out.
Oh, yes, I did. And
good.
He's now very happily retired.
That's wonderful. Well, if you're not paying attention to that bottom line, then that's where it all matters and shakes out at the end of the day. And there is a risk that you can grow too quickly. And, you know, for a lot of business owners, say, oh, that'd be great. I'd love to have that problem. Well,
no, you don't.
you can have a real problem. And I think that takes us to another point that I know that is important in how you look at this, Ruth, and that is, you know, first, what is most important, or what is the best measure and most important way of assessing your business, and also how you can actually keep your business going forward? That, you know, kind of the oil for the engine or the gas for the, you know, for the car to move forward is it cash? Is it profit? Is it cash flow? Or is it all of the above?
Well, it's actually all of the above. You have to have profitable sales that you collect on to give you positive cash flow, which gives you the cash you need to pay your bills. So, you know, I gave you the example of my client who mm-hmm. grew to $2 million. Well, he had cash flow, but it wasn't profitable. So when he stopped growing, he started having problems paying his bills. And growth masks a lot of problems. So if you're growing very, very quickly, be very careful that you always monitor your positive cash flow and you keep an eye on your receivables and make sure that somebody is actually spending time on collections, unless you're a COD-type company. So you need the profitable sales that you collect to give you the positive cash flow, which gives you the cash. So all three are important. Obviously, you know, with no cash, you can't pay your bills, you can't keep a roof over your head, pay the rent or anything like that. But you've got to have positive cash flow so that you always have cash.
Amen to that, Ruth. If you're not watching those receivables and working on collections, you'll go, and if you're not COD, you'll be DOA.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
go
think
ahead.
About, you know, you've gotten, we just finished April 15th. Granted, we're already into, you know, the end of May. But David, how many people did you talk to and say, well, your tax bill is X? And they said to you, well, where's all my money?
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time for business owners. They're like, well, wait a minute, I made all this money. Where'd it go? And it's like, well, let's look at where the money, what you're investing in, what's the next project, what have you done? Well, yeah, I did buy that car, or, you know, I did invest in this machinery. I mean, there you are.
Yeah, and as you add more people, I mean, people suck cash. Think about it. You need phones for them, a place for them to sit, or they're out, you know, producing product, and that means more inventory. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of all these assets that you have to buy, and that sucks out all your cash.
Amen. Amen. I feel like I'm in church. Amen, Ruth. Ruth King, Profitability Master and Serial Entrepreneur. You see why she's on the program, ladies and gentlemen. ProfitabilityRevolution.com, the book, The Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less than 30 Minutes a Month. a number one Amazon bestseller. Quick break. We'll be right back with Ruth.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Ruth King on the line with me. ProfitabilityRevolution.com is the website. You heard about the book. And by the way, Ruth has an MBA in finance from Georgia State University. And we're very happy to have her on the program. And we're talking about small business owners growing their businesses, managing their cash, paying attention to the numbers and realizing that, you know, you've got to have cash profit and cash flow to make it work. And, you know, I wanted to get to another one, which is so many things we could go and talk about, Ruth, is, you know, you look at how small businesses operate their business. And I know you've seen a lot over the years. As the business is generating cash, how important is it to look at both the cash receipts or a kind of a cash basis, but also look at accrual where you're actually booking things and anticipating and knowing that these things are coming? You know, do you advise, do you use both? Do you recommend one versus the other, function of the type of business?
Okay. For most businesses, especially those businesses that have inventory, I always recommend that you operate your business on an accrual basis.
Okay.
Now, many times you would recommend on a tax basis, you know, basically paying your taxes on a cash basis. And David, that's for you and your clients to go through. And that's okay. I mean, personally, I operate my business on an accrual basis and I pay my taxes on a cash basis.
Sure.
It's, you know, it was what was best for me.
Right.
And you would be able to advise somebody better than that. But with on an accrual basis, you're looking at somebody who, looking at things that, all right, as soon as you send out an invoice, whether or not you got paid, that's, you know, that's revenue to you.
Yeah, book it.
When you get an invoice from a vendor, whether or not it's paid, that's an expense to you. So you can always do matching of apples and oranges,
right?
And not have a fruit salad. And what I mean by that is revenues in 1 month, expenses in another. You have to match them together to get your cost. And if you have apples and oranges, you have fruit salad, but you don't want fruit salad. You just want an apple salad, or here in Georgia, you want peach salad.
Absolutely. Well, we want to know what's going to come in and what's going to go out. And that's also where you have to, you know, look at what the cash crunch might be. If you're not collecting those receivables and the vendors or the folks you have accrued your liability for, they start calling saying, hey, you got to pay me. I delivered my product. Well, yeah, I ain't got paid yet either. Well, that's not really our problem.
That's not my problem.
Yeah. Well, and that goes to another point that I think is really important for small business owners as they do have cash come in. They do need to set money aside for those potential slowdowns in their receivables because they do want to keep good credit and pay their vendors. So do you recommend a certain percentage of money coming in the door maybe be set aside as kind of an emergency or backup fund?
I say take 1% of every dollar that comes in the door and put it in a savings account.
Okay.
Minimum of 1%. I've got some of my clients doing 2 and 3. And it's funny because I've been talking about this for years now, and I get emails, you know, regularly that say, oh, thank you for telling me to do that. I now have this, and I was able to, you know, had a cash crunch, was able to buy a car or a truck, you know, not a car for personal use, but a truck, or, you know, computer equipment or a new phone system, and I didn't have to go to the bank and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You absolutely have to keep a certain amount of cash in reserve at all times because emergencies do happen and things do come up. And sometimes, you know, my experience is that unless you don't need a loan, the bank's not going to give you a line of credit when you need it.
Funny how that is. Anybody who's been in business like you have, Ruth, for decades knows that. But a lot of people just don't think about it. They say, oh, well, if I ever need a loan, you know, I just go down to the bank and say, hey, you know, things are tight now. I need a loan. And they go, things are tight, then we don't want to give you any money.
Yeah. I had a very smart client one time. And through my help, they've tracked their cash and everything else like that. And they were incredibly profitable. So what they ended up doing, is going to the bank with their, you know, financial statements showing this incredible profitability because they forecast the cash needs in probably 6 months. And they got their line of credit when they didn't need it.
Right.
And so they had the cash when they did need it 6 months later. Because had they gone 6 months later, the bank probably would have said no.
Well, I'll take it even one step further, Ruth. I would even say, get the line of credit. Get as much as they'll give you. Once you've got it, start using it a little bit, even though you don't need it. Mm-hmm. Pull on that line. Pay it back, even if it costs you a little bit of interest to go through that charade. And by doing that, you're showing the bank that you actually can do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
And
I would agree.
It's all about credibility with bankers, especially when you work with a community bank. You know, it's a very personal relationship, and they, you know, they're evaluating you as a business, not just what's on the, not just what they see on the financials. And I think that anything you can do to show that you can actually walk the walk is important.
And also go to the bank and make your deposits.
Exactly.
No, it sounds crazy, but you know, if you're in a community bank, you go to the bank. You know, you may not make all of them, but you go in and you say hi to everybody. You don't go through the drive-through. You keep the personal connection there too.
I like that. In fact, bring a box of donuts every time you make a deposit. A happy banker is a good banker.
Absolutely.
I like it, Ruth. Okay, so how about any big mistakes you've seen? I mean, I think obviously not knowing what you've got in cash and keeping track of your books. Any big mistakes you've seen business owners make over the years that, you know, people should really be in particular tuned into?
Well, it's not only financial profitability. Let's talk a little bit about the sales and the marketing profitability.
Okay, good.
When you look at it, because a lot of people don't think that, they think, okay, I got a customer. Terrific. Well, is that customer profitable for you? I don't know. You better figure out whether a customer is profitable for you or not. Are they actually costing you money? They're, you know, you have revenues of $100, but they're costing you $105, something along those lines. I have a client who former client. They're now basically retired too. I think I'm getting old.
No, you're doing too good of a job. They're all retiring ahead of you.
Oh dear. So anyway, what they did, one year they got really frustrated and they decided we've had enough. And they took their client list and their customer list and they fired the bottom 10% of their customer base. They said, we're doing this person's business, we're not doing this person's business, we're not doing this company's business. And they literally decided that they were going to 10% of their customer base, they're paying that to that. And they went to each one of them and said, we're not doing your work next year. And here are three companies that you could potentially use. And I said they fired them with ruthless compassion because they at least took care of them and said, go use these other companies. And they thought the first year that they were going to go bankrupt. Well, what happened instead was their revenues and their profits increased by more than 10% because they had the time to deal with the customers who absolutely cared and, you know, were loyal to them and they were loyal without problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so now the joke in that place is, well, I want to fire this customer next year, or I want to fire this.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, let's fire another 10% to be even more profitable.
But they do. Every year they go through their customer base now, or the people who are now running it, and decide if they are going to fire customers or if they are going to keep customers. And the interesting thing is after a couple of years, a couple of those fired customers who were fired because they could never make them happy, they wouldn't pay their bills, which is the thing that most people think about.
Yep.
And, you know, safety and those types of things. This is a client who goes into industrial areas. And about 3 years later, one of them come back, and they said, okay, here's the rule. And they said, okay. They pay their bills. They don't complain.
Well, you know, I think you know, we're not going to be rude about this or disparage anybody or say, look, if you're, you know, a small customer that you aren't worthy and all those things. I know you feel the same way about that, Ruth. But, you know, the reality is, let's be honest, that is the customer in any business, the customer that is at the bottom is likely to have cash flow challenges. They may be, because they are in where they are relative to other people, they may be more demanding because they are more, they need it and maybe they've got other stresses. And it's just, you know, it's like in the Peanuts cartoon with, what was it, Pigpen walking around with a cloud on his head?
Mm-hmm.
That's sometimes where those people are. They're, you know, there's a cloud, and it's not a good place. And So,
And it's not to say don't deal with demanding customers, because a lot of times you can take really good care of demanding customers, and they know they're hard to work with. So what happens is they actually refer you a lot.
Because there's a feeling of wanting to make up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Insightful, Ruth. I like it. Ruth King, profitability master, serial entrepreneur, and insightful person all around. We'll add that to your title, Ruth.
Okay.
ProfitabilityRevolution.com is the website, the book, The Courage to be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less than 30 Minutes a Month. And I'm going to get a copy of your book, Ruth, for one of my clients I just met with, the one that's going through that transitional period where she really needs to get a handle on some of these financial issues. All right, quick break. We'll be right back with Ruth.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one, or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Ruth King. I feel like I've been talking to you for years, Ruth.
That's been fun. I've enjoyed talking with you, too.
Yeah, I love your insights. ProfitabilityRevolution.com is a website. And I want to get to another one, which I know is high on your list for, you know, small business owners who are trying to be smart with their time. They delegate. They turn things over to a bookkeeper. They're not trying to balance their checkbook and reconcile it. They're focused on revenue activities, all good stuff. But then they maybe give that bookkeeper or the controller or whoever it is maybe too much authority, and then now you bring yourself a whole other set of risks, don't you?
Right. The job of a good embezzler is to become the trusted bookkeeper.
Yeah. And we've had that happen in my local market with, you know, it's like, hey, you know, this happens to small business owners every day in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, David, the second worst thing I've ever had to do in 30-plus years is tell two owners of a three-partner company that the third partner was embezzling at least $50,000 a year out of their company, and I quit at 50.
Wow.
I just didn't want to know anymore. I just,
wow,
like, over. And the thing that's really bad is, or really, most people, 99% of the population, in my opinion, is honest, but something happens, like they go through a really bad divorce, or a kid gets sick, or a husband dies, or something like that, and they stop thinking rationally, and they start thinking emotionally, and all of their value system goes away because they have this incredible need for money. And if you make it really easy to steal from you, guess what they're going to do? They're going to try it once. And then if it works, they're going to do it again, and then they get kind of sucked into it.
Yeah, it's just the first time that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that, it's a really slippery slope, and Now, I have to ask Ruth, you said that was the second worst thing you ever had to do. Was there another one with telling a business owner something worse than that?
I had to fire the son of an owner.
Oh, good Lord.
He couldn't do it.
Oh, he couldn't do it, so you did it.
I did it.
All right, so you're the heavy. Bring you in, and you take care of business. All right.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and think about it. You know, if you give your bookkeeper the ability to sign checks, that means you are giving the bookkeeper the ability to sign any check.
Right.
And that means a check to herself or her own company or his own company. Like if you go and look at your vendor list, and I suggest you print out a vendor list at least once a quarter, look for ABC Inc. and ABC
right.
Corp. and ABC Limited and things along those lines. And lo and behold, there's ABC Inc. and ABC Corp. and ABC Company. And ABC Company is real. And ABC Corp. or whatever is this person's company that you're signing checks for that you're not thinking about, because you think it's the other one. And, yeah, it's there.
Yeah, it just gets all lumped in. And, you know, golly, we should be making more money by now. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, here's the report. Everything's paid. And, you know, look, you just got to work harder.
Well, look a little harder. Because
exactly.
If your numbers aren't jiving right, and you And this is another reason never to abdicate, is because you can look at your numbers and go, all right, prove that number to me. And you know what you're looking at. You're making sure that your balance sheet balances. You're making sure that there's not negative cash on your balance sheet. Then, you know you have a lazy bookkeeper if you have negative cash on your balance sheet, because your bank's not going to let you have negative cash in your checking account.
Yeah, that means you just haven't updated your financials, and you really have to know where you stand at all time. I mean, business owners have to balance, of course, between doing the business and running the business, but you can't let go completely.
Yeah, I mean, half an hour a month, everybody can afford. I'm sorry.
Well, if they want to be able to afford to keep the business, they better do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a controller that works for me, and I have a routine process for checking it in and knowing where we are and keeping tabs on the business and looking at our cash flows. And, the other thing I don't do, Ruth, is I don't make any decisions without, I don't care how little somebody's got financial experience running a business. You know, you got to be at least invested a little bit in understanding how the financial systems work. And I don't make any decisions without a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, you don't have to become an expert. You know, you hire people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't open up the software that's being used, QuickBooks or something like that, if you can't go in and open it up and at least be able to pull things up, then, you are taking an additional risk with your business that, it's not like getting insurance on your building. I mean, it's a risk that you can't really cover if you do that.
Well, and you also can take care of it, whereas sometimes, if somebody just runs into your building, that you have no control over. You have control over the financials.
Well, I think for people that are looking for additional insights, they can definitely go to your website, Ruth, and I'm looking forward to that. And again, I'm going to recommend one of my clients I just saw read your book, because, people need to have the courage to be profitable, but then to get and stay there, they have to pay attention, like you said, with 30 minutes or less a month. I just know where you are, and people need to get into their focused area for maximum growth. So I really thank you for coming on the program and being with us. Ruth King, ladies and gentlemen, ProfitabilityRevolution.com. And again, the book, The Courage to Be Profitable, Get and Stay Profitable in Less Than 30 Minutes a Month. Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, David, for having me. I hope I helped your listeners.
Oh, you did. It's good stuff. Thank you much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.